Physio Room in association with Able Bodies Physiotherapy, 2 George's Street, Newbridge, 045-435-480 and ablebodies.ie.
Yeah, week 2 of the Physio Room. Delighted to be joined again by chartered physiotherapist with Able Bodies Physiotherapy, Leah Purcell. Good morning to you, Leah. And last week we touched on the reasons for needing hip, knee and joint replacements. And this morning we're going to talk about how people can aim to avoid those joint replacement surgeries. And already we have a couple of messages into us, which we'll get to very shortly. But I suppose the main question there is, why would you want to avoid surgery, especially if you have bad arthritis, for example? People might see this as being the solution, so why would you want to avoid it?
Hi, Owen. Good morning. It's good to be on to you again. I had thought I'd cover this last week, but we had so much covered last week that I thought it was worth revisiting this topic again this week. Some people come in for physio or go into a knee replacement or hip replacement thinking it's a quick fix and it's just the best thing to do. They are both highly successful surgeries and usually are a great success, but they're certainly not a quick fix. And I think we went over that last week and highlighted that, and that might be available on the KFM website if people wanted to listen back to that. But there are risks involved with any type of surgery, like the risk of infection, and there may be people who are other ways compromised with their health. So people who have maybe heart problems or lung problems or other conditions, that means that they're not suitable for surgery, or that surgery is a higher risk or a bigger undertaking. So there certainly would be a cohort of patients who I would see who perhaps they would not be able for a surgery, even though they're physically in bad pain and they show all the signs of arthritis on their scans or on their x-rays. The other reason to try and avoid surgery is in younger people. In general, in Ireland at the moment, a typical hip replacement or a knee replacement lasts about 15 or 20 years. And in general, the first surgery to replace the person's own knee joint or hip joint is straightforward enough. You take out their own part of the bones that are affected and you put in the new components. But then 15 or 20 years down the line, a revision surgery, if the hip replacement is starting to wear out or the knee replacement is starting to wear out, a revision surgery is a more complex surgery because you're having to remove the metal that was put in originally. So you have to take that out, and it's very strongly embedded after 15 or 20 years of walking around on it, and then replace it with a new component. And that can be a much more difficult surgery to get. So in general, in younger people, the more time you can get out of your own joint, so long as you have a good quality life and you're able to do your work and your exercise and things like that, it means that you're getting more time with the, or it kind of buys you time after the having a knee replacement.
I suppose then it kind of begs the question, how do people know if their arthritis or that their aches and pains are bad enough to actually consider surgery then?
Yeah, so basically the main thing we look at is the patient's presentation. So if their pain is really stop preventing them from enjoying their life and really taking away from their quality of life, if they're not sleeping, if they're not able to do their social activities, if they're in bad pain all the time. So that's one part of the picture we would look at. Then the next thing would be to get an x-ray and see what shape the bones are in. And if the bones are, if the cartilage is really worn down and the arthritis is severe, and the person has tried to rehabilitate themselves to some extent, as in what we spoke about last week, strengthening up, maybe losing a bit of weight, maybe changing their type of exercise to something like cycling or pool-based exercises and taking a break from their aggravating activities. They've done all that and they have the bony changes on x-ray, then at that stage you would look at having a replacement surgery. But it is worth noting there are other really painful conditions such as bursitis or tendinitis or even muscular issues that can be really painful as well, but they won't be solved by having your knee replaced, you know, or having your hip replaced. The hip replacement and the knee replacement purely and solely deals with the bones in those joints and replaces them.
Am I right in saying that there's also like joint injections that people can get? So I know they're different to surgery, but how do they work?
Yeah, so they can be a good way to either solve people's pain or else give people sort of prolong the time to having a knee replacement. So say, for example, if you're 50 and you've got bad arthritis in your knee and you're having symptoms from it, they would probably try an injection first. And if that works for you and if you can get a few years out of having an injection every 6 months, then you might not get your replacement until you're 55 or until you're 60. And then that knee replacement, very agricultural way to look at it, but then that knee replacement will probably see you out. Do you know what I mean? And you probably won't need to be getting a new one in 20 years' time.
Okay, so they are another kind of alternative and
yeah,
maybe...
And the different types of injection, sorry for cutting across. I just mentioned that the most common type of joint injection people get is with a steroid. So a steroid injection into the knee or into the hip or into the spine. You can get them in the spinal joints as well. And that's like a high dose of a steroid directly to the place. And the aim of that is to cool down inflammation and calm it and just calm things down within the joint. So it's not going to cure the cartilage or heal the joint, but it might get rid of your symptoms. And if that's the case, that's brilliant. And it can provide for a certain cohort of people, it can provide a window of opportunity to do the work. And if some people come into me with severe pain in their knee or in their hip, and actually everything aggravates it. So they can't really do their physio exercises because they're too sore, or they can't really tolerate kind of hands-on physio treatment because it's too sore. But having an injection can enable that. So I would always urge anyone who gets an injection, whether it's an injection into the joint or if it's an injection for bursitis or for tendinitis or anything, to kind of give it 10 days or 2 weeks to settle in there and to allow the steroid to do its thing, and then to see a physio about doing some rehab exercises. Because the steroid does have a shelf life. It does kind of wear out after 10 or 12 weeks generally, but if you've done a bit of strengthening in that time, the steroid can wear away and you don't feel it. You still have relief of your symptoms. You don't have your symptoms. So I would urge, a lot of the time that's a missing piece in the link. The specialist, it would have to be a surgeon these days that does joint injections. A GP used to do it in the clinic, but that doesn't happen so much anymore. But often the surgeon will forget to say, get followed up now with the physio, and people go away and they get relief for a while and they just keep doing what they've always done, and then the pain comes back 2 or 3 months later.
There's a couple of people asking, Leah, what about stem cell treatment? Is that effective at all for joint pain?
So that's the one that plasma PRP injections is a different type of injection. So that stands for plasma rich platelets. So that is kind of a new thing. It works well for some people. It doesn't work at all for other people. The theory behind it is that you take the blood out of the person. You take a blood sample and they put it in a spinner to spin out the plasma rich part of your blood. So they kind of extract some of the part of your blood that works on healing, and then you re-inject it into the sore joint. And the idea is that that fluid then goes and kind of plugs in the little cracks and the gaps and the holes in the cartilage of that joint. So if you think of your knee joint, if it's got bad wear and tear, like what we spoke about last week, the cartilage is like a bumper. And if the bumper is nice and smooth and shiny, the joint works really well. But if the bumper is kind of degraded and bumpy and inflamed, that can give you pain and restriction in your movement. The idea is the plasma-rich protein goes in and plugs those gaps in the cartilage. But again, that doesn't always work, but it is worth a try, certainly in younger people, to see if that gives relief. So the idea with the PRP versus the steroid is that the PRP is actually going in there and going to try and heal it or try and cure the cartilage. Whereas the steroid is just trying to calm it down. It's not going to actually change the structure of the cartilage or the integrity of the joint.
All right. There's another message in here from Mark in Nace. He said, my wife has just gotten a full knee replacement. Can you ask Leah, is there any medical aid that we can get to help her recovery? Thanks in advance, says Mark.
So medical aid, I'm not sure what, does that, like, physio, certainly, I would be booking into physio 10 days or 2 weeks after. And then in terms of aids and things around the house, like clearing the way to make life easier for her, getting rid of mats, getting rid of chairs or bits of stools or foot tables and things, because they're all little obstacles and it might make a big difference if you're just walking past it once, but if you're having to do it all the time, it tires you out. A knee replacement is a really difficult surgery for the first kind of 6 or 8 weeks after surgery. It's really rough going. Making sure chairs are a bit higher, that will make it easier for her to sit up and or stand up and sit down. Sometimes an over toilet seat can be really helpful, as in the toilet seat can be very low and hard to get up and down out of. I'm trying to think what other aids, like keeping in the initial stages after a knee replacement, it's really important to keep the swelling at bay. So use your ice 15 minutes, kind of 4 or 5 times a day in those initial stages with the ice, and a little compression sleeve might help over the plasters or over the bandages that she has, and then doing the exercises from the hospital. The other really important thing after surgery, any kind of surgery really, but particularly after knee replacement because it is so painful, is keeping on top of your pain relief. There's no prizes for being a martyr. Yeah. And, take the pain relief that you're given, and if it's not working, get back in touch with the hospital or with your GP to get something that works. There's no benefits in being in pain. Like, that, you would be far better off being able to move around with a bit of freedom, with painkillers on board, because that'll get your rehab going quicker than sitting in the chair all day because you're in agony, but saying, oh, no, I'm not taking any painkillers, I don't want to take them.
Good
but
advice.
Then the flip side of that is that sometimes painkillers can, and the whole thing of surgery and anaesthetic, sitting around and lying around much more than you're used to, it can cause constipation and gut issues. So just making sure you're drinking plenty of water and eating fiber, eating kiwis, eating fruit, and even taking some lactulose or some of those over-the-counter medications, because that's misery if you develop bad constipation as well as being in pain with your knee. So when you're taking the pain relief, I always warn people to up the fibre and up the water and all of that to try and prevent any gut issues as well.
This message here has kind of brought back memories of me growing up, and it says a 13-year-old sporty girl had growing pains in her legs a few weeks ago, but felt a weakness or a locking in her knee while running and jumping 6 weeks ago. I remember those so-called growing pains, and there were nights that I'd be lying in bed and I'd be trying to put my leg against the cold radiator to try and bring the pain down. But this texter says that her daughter has rested it because she was sore if she walked too far, now doing short walks with ease and is swimming a bit for exercise. Had an x-ray, all is good, awaiting an MRI now, but should she be going to physio for a checkup and perhaps strengthening exercises, this listener asks.
It probably is worth it. Like, the really unfortunate thing about growing pains is that they can last throughout the growing years. So, sometimes it's not just a once-off. That can come, kids tend to get growing pains when they have a growth spurt. And some kids get it harder than others for whatever reason. So I do think number one is to make sure, like, clicking or locking or giving way of the knee, that's not a typical symptom of growing pains. So that could be an injury or something that has happened, and if that's the case, that she might be cured from that and it's no bother. But if it is genuinely growing pains, I think it would be worth linking in with a physio, because it may come back again. And to have the stretches, and that we might do a little one of the physio rooms on this in the coming weeks, Owen, because there's a lot to it. But generally what happens is the bones grow quickly, the muscles are on a stretch then to try and catch up, and that means that they're sore. So stretches can help. Doing certain types of stretches can help. Managing the load through a growth spurt is really important. So if you have a kid who's out doing loads, which lots of kids are nowadays, doing something every night of the week, that you might just have to like draw the line if they're painful and say, look, this week we're going to have to prioritise. You can't be out every night of the week training because you're too sore, so we just have to pick maybe the matches and or pick a match and not do the training sessions until your symptoms settle down for a while. And that can be really frustrating, and particularly with teenagers, it can be a real bone of contention between the parents and the teen, because the parent would say, no, you're not to train tonight, and the teenager would say, no, I want to train, I have to train. Mm. So sometimes having a physio there in the middle to like call it out and say what it is and lay down the rules and make a management plan is a really valuable part of the picture, particularly if it's going to come and go until the person is fully grown. And unfortunately, you just don't know. Some people get a stint of growing pains for a couple of weeks when they're 12 or 13, and then they never get it again. And some teenagers have it. It comes and goes for 5 or 6 years until their skeleton is fully grown.
Just one final question then that's come in here, Leah, before I let you go. It says, I have two discs and cervical osteoarthritis and also bone spurs. I'm just getting injections, but do I need surgery? I suppose it comes back to the patient's pain level, does it?
Yeah, it comes back to symptoms. If you're getting injections, that person is either under pain management specialist or an orthopaedic specialist. And if the injections are giving you relief and they're working, then I would be doing them, but in conjunction with getting some exercises for kind of movement and for strength and to improve your posture. That's really important piece of the picture. And if they stop working, or if you're still very uncomfortable, you need to take a look at things and balance it up yourself and say, have you still got a good quality life? Are you still sleeping? Are you still doing the things you want to do? And if you are, then I'd carry on with the injections and some of the exercises, which is a really important piece of the picture. And if you're not, then it might be worth putting yourself in front of a consultant and saying, what are my options here in terms of surgery?
All right. We'll have to leave it there. Leah Purcell.
Could I just say one more thing, Owen, before we go? I want to say a massive congratulations to Nessa Dooley, who worked in Able Bodies for the last few years. And it was just announced this morning that she's getting a start with the Brisbane Lions on this weekend in their match against the Fremantle Dockers. She went off in May to play Aussie Rules. And I just want to give her a big shout out and say we're all of her patients here in the clinic and all of the girls, all of us in the clinic are very proud of her over in Australia, making her way over there.
The whole county very proud of Nessa Dooley. She was one of the star players for Kildare down through the years and making waves over in Australia now. So well done to Nessa Dooley. Listen, Leah Purcell, chartered physiotherapist from Able Bodies Physiotherapy in Newbridge for this week's Physio Room. Thanks for that. We'll do it again next Thursday at the same time, just after 10.
The Physio Room, in association with Able Bodies Physiotherapy, 2 George's Street, Newbridge, 045 435 480 and ablebodies.ie.